My name is Bonnie Landry. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast with my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, where we explore the questions about homeschooling and family life and how we can make joy normal.
Good afternoon, Elizabeth. Welcome back. Welcome back to being together. This is so cool.
Right. Welcome back, I guess, to your home, even though I'm not there.
But yeah. You know, it was fun, like having all those pre-recorded episodes. It was fun to do that. But I would prefer not to record that far ahead, actually. Like, I'd rather just be a couple weeks. So sort of fresh on my mind what we were talking about and whatnot. A couple of weeks ahead is okay. But, you know, that was a long time to be away.
Right. I liked seeing your pictures, though.
Thank you.
It looks like really fun.
Yeah, it was a very, very fun trip. We saw some very cool stuff and not as much wildlife as we imagined. We saw a few bear, a few moose, but we thought we'd see, you know, I guess we just thought it would be all over, you know, like the side of the road, just be littered with moose. You know, it is Canada after all.
Right. You know, my husband showed me a video the other day of a moose chasing a mama bear.
Wow.
Because the bear was trying to eat or to like get at the, what's a baby moose called?
Yeah.
Is it a calf? It is a calf. Okay. Yeah. And so this moose just was chasing it and people were filming.
Wow. And it's amazing.
I mean, I hear moose are pretty vicious. So
yeah. Well, and they're so massive. Like they're just unbelievably massive. We were reading all the stats about moose on our way as we were anticipating seeing dozens of them.
Right.
You know, we were sort of, so we read all these stats about moose and I thought, wow, I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea. I've seen moose. I saw moose when I was a kid, up close when we were traveling in Alaska. You know, it was pretty impressive, but then you start thinking, okay, well, you know, I would come up to about the moose's top of their leg kind of thing.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. So
I have a question for you because now summer is kind of finally here in Michigan and we are getting eaten alive by mosquitoes. And so I was wondering as I was out gardening, does Bonnie have mosquitoes?
Yeah. I mean, there's some real pluses to living here. It's a beautiful place to live, but one of the biggest pluses for people that move here from the east is the fact that we have so few mosquitoes, and the ones we do have are tiny. And so you'll get mosquitoes, but it's just not anything like back east, you know? And it's interesting because when we were on our road trip, the mosquito, it was just warming up there, right? And so, you know, probably like where you are too, in Ontario, a lot of Ontario, it's basically winter, a few days of spring, and then hot weather. And so that's what was happening. So the hatch of mosquitoes happened while we were there. And it was so disgusting because we were just walking, they weren't biting yet, but we were walking through these clouds of mosquitoes, like millions of mosquitoes in a cloud. You couldn't get away from them. And, you know, have to just close your mouth and bolt through the cloud. And I thought, oh, I've never experienced this. This is horrible. Why do we live here? Yeah.
I don't even think I've experienced that. I do remember last summer, it was like July 4th. I remember it was July 4th and I was very pregnant. And I thought, I haven't been bitten by mosquitoes yet this year. They're coming late. And then I opened my mouth and I said that out loud. And about 30 seconds later, I kid you not, my friend was bit by a mosquito and she goes, are you kidding me, Elizabeth?
Okay, here's another little interesting fact, which is weird. Years ago, I think I've talked before on previous podcasts, I had an emergency bowel resection, right? Because I had this bowel issue just after Lydia was born. And so ever since then, I can't absorb B12 orally. So I have to get a B12 shot every month. So I get a big, you know, IM B12 shot every month. And I had heard that B vitamins will ward off mosquitoes, and I don't get bitten. So even when we have mosquitoes, if other people, what people will find is like around here, it's usually in that dark, then you'll get a few mosquitoes out coming around, you know, if you're sitting around a fire or something like that. And I don't get bitten. And I attribute it to the B12 because I just, there's no other explanation. Like I'm not wearing any, you know, mosquito repellent.
All right. Note to self, order B12.
Exactly. Well, I think that can work if you take it orally as well. Now, I know this is just all anecdotal. So, you know, check your facts before you invest in all that B vitamin.
Well, that's okay. I mean, what's another vitamin, yeah. though, right? No, I know in moderation. I got it.
Exactly. So you have some questions, I understand.
Yeah, well, sort of just like a topic. I know a lot of families, mine included, are about to do summer road trips. And mm-hmm. we do have a built-in DVD player in our car, but we kind of really like to use it as infrequently as possible. You know, I didn't have it growing up. I had to just stare out the window or I'd play games with my dad. And so I remember...
Because our parents tortured us, we should torture our children. No, I know. I get it. We didn't ever want DVD. We just felt like it was going to distract from a road trip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think used judiciously, it would be okay. But I think, you know, primarily we do want our kids to be seeing what we're driving, when we're driving, right?
Sure. But I know we had talked about, you had some ideas for kind of taking schooling on the road with little games and things.
Right.
And so I thought it might be a good time as the summer begins if we talk about
that. Right.
I've got a couple things that we do, but I wanted to hear more from homeschooling perspective.
Sure. Yeah. So we did, I didn't do road trips. I mean, we did, you know, we'd go a couple of hours or whatever when we had really small kids, but I didn't really start doing road trips until our youngest was 5. And then we did a big 5-week road trip, and then we did a big 4-week road trip, and then we did, you know, 4 weeks in Europe. And, you know, we've done quite a bit of stuff like that. And of course, now we've crossed the country, which, you know, but we didn't have little kids. So those are ones where we had younger kids. And some of the things that we found, and these are all, you know, not original ideas, they were definitely things from that I gleaned from other people, was first of all, we always kept a soccer ball in the back of the car, right? And I believe, it seems to me, the boys also brought like some sort of throwing thing, like it wasn't a frisbee, but some sort of like soft throwing thing that we had. Like a throwing game, but that way, no matter where we were, like a hotel parking lot or a park on the side of the road or whatever, the boys would kick the soccer ball around.
Okay.
And that was a lifesaver because especially I found for the boys that the sitting was just, you know, hard on them. They just had so much to sort of energy to get out. So there was sort of car games, which was a whole other category, but the soccer ball and a couple of things to throw around was really a lifesaver. And I think if you had younger kids, even taking something like, you know, Nerf balls or something like that, that you could play even indoors if you had to, right? But, you know, you can do remarkable things in a hotel parking lot too, right?
Yeah. That's a great
campground or wherever you are, where a beach, wherever you are,
right? Because not every rest stop has a playground. And
exactly.
When we drove to visit my parents in Missouri last, it was still kind of COVID times, and any playground rest stop, the playgrounds were closed down. So you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that was one thing that we found really helpful. The other thing, of course, audiobooks, you know, and to date, I'm going to share with you our most favorite audiobooks. And then I'll talk about some games that we've done with the kids, you know, sort of just fun things we've done in the car. On our big road trip that we did back east, we listened to the whole Narnia Chronicles. And our kids still have memories of it. I still talk about it because it was just so, that was like 2011 or something. It was such an amazing time. And for us, we all knew the books. We'd read them over and over again. But to listen to them together was kind of an adventure in and of itself. You know, because every book you read or listen to together does become a bonding experience and an adventure that you take, you know. And so you have quotes from the book and you have, you know, things you talking about or jokes that you make about the book that you read, right? And it's just such a bonding experience to read a book together. And so an audiobook has a whole different thing. As you're traveling and you're listening to this, and every time you get in the car, oh, turn the book on, you know. Such a beautiful way to pass the time. Plus you can still be looking at what's going by, right? The other book that was just a most spectacularly beautiful book was E.B. White's Charlotte's Web. And E.B. White is the narrator. So years and years ago, he recorded himself reading his own book, and he's got this beautiful, you know, Midwest accent, and it's just so charming. And that's a book that really, you know, resonates with me. But we also listen to a lot of, you know, Adventures in Odyssey or sort of a little historical things. Like we'd listen to a little short historical audio. If we were going, like when we went on that trip, we saw a lot of Revolutionary War sites and Civil War sites. And so we just picked out, you know, downloaded audio that would be kind of nice. Okay, you know, here's a 15-minute clip or a 10-minute clip. Now, we wouldn't want to overload the kids with like some hour-long audio that was sort of, you know, nonfiction. You know what I mean? It's just harder to listen to as you're driving. And so, but we would pick sort of short little historical audio, which was kind of just a fun way to add, you know, a cool education as you go kind of thing, right? So those are some of our favorites. The other thing that was one of our favorites was this one that we listened to the first book of Lord of the Rings as we were traveling across Canada. So it's, you know, 22 hours long, you know, but we had, you know, we drove for, I don't know, almost 10,000 kilometers, right? So it was amazing. And we literally finished the book on the last day. And it was just spectacular. It was absolutely spectacular. And it was the one narrated by Andy Serkis, who played Gollum. He does 138 different voices in the three books. Yeah, I was so impressed with it. It's funny, I didn't know Andy Serkis, I didn't know his name. And so as I was researching books, we thought we would like to start the Lord of the Rings audio as we were crossing the country. We just thought it'd be a good opportunity. And I read, I listened to a couple of samples of different ones. Then I listened to this one and it was just, wow, it was just so spectacular. And I thought, well, it doesn't have as many good reviews because it's newer, but all the reviews were good on it. And so I downloaded that one and then realized it was actually who it actually was, the actor that was playing it. It was just, yeah, really incredible.
That's funny. Our friend sent us a copy of Lord of the Rings audiobook, and I could not tell you who, what do you call it? Narrated,
right,
thank
okay.
you. but this person was able to use the movie music along with it, which was very helpful because I saw the movies before I read the books, which am more of a visual learner. So having seen the movies, now I can read the books and I can like focus better. If that makes sense. So having the music tie it in, it helps me.
That would help. Complete picture sort of thing. Well, it's interesting because Andy Serkis, for the most part, uses the voices of the characters from the movie, right? So that's the accent he portrays that character in because it's already familiar to us, which I think was really wise, you know, because we sort of imagine Boromir with that, you know, type of accent. And so he kind of copied that accent that they were using. And he's a master of accent. It was incredible. You know who's speaking every single time. You always know who's speaking, you know, because they're so distinct. Now, before I share some of our games, did you want to share the thing, your sort of car stuff that you do?
Yeah. So I remember my dad and I would always interact because my sister is 10 years younger than me. So there was many a road trip that it was just me and my parents. So my dad, we would do the ABC game. So that's where as you're driving, you have to find every letter of the alphabet.
That was what I was going to share.
Yeah.
We spent so much time doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we'd try and make it harder where you'd have to find two A's and then two B's and then two C's.
Right.
My husband makes it even harder where you can only use road signs. So you cannot use like a McDonald's sign. You cannot use Quick Trip to get those cues. And you can't use license plates. Only like...
Yes, we've done that too.
Yeah.
It's a great game. It's such a fun game.
Yeah.
And it's quick. You know, and you always get stuck on the same letters, you know, the J's and the K's or whatever, you know, the Q's.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. We would play that a few times a day, like, you know, okay, get in the car, okay, alphabet game. But we would do that too. Okay, can't use license plates. And that changes everything, right?
Right. And the other game that my dad and I would do would be we would make a sentence. So we'd every other word. You know, so it's like my dad would say a word and then I'd have to add to it and only one word at a time till we made
okay, fun.
Or a story, whatever it was. So
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So those are my two.
Have you done things with your own kids?
Yes. So we've tried doing the sentence thing with them, and, you know, they just get silly with it, which is fine. It helps pass the time. One thing that they started doing, so my sister started doing this thing with her friends. I don't know what it's called, but if you find, see cows, you have to shout, "My cows." And then you get that herd of cattle. And then, so I think that counts as one. And then if you see a cemetery, you shout, "Bury your cows," and then you lose like half your cows. And then if you see a chapel, "Marry your cows," and then it doubles. So I don't know. It's just this whole game. I'm sure people have probably heard of it, but
I've never heard of it.
My kids overheard this with my sister. And so now what they do is they yell, "My house." And it's like, that's the house they want. Or, you know, "My farm." And, you know, because we live in more of a rural area. And so they just kind of have fun with it. Or they will try and race cars. So it's like, as, you know, my husband and I are driving, they'll be watching a car and they'll be like, "We got to pass it. We got to pass it." And of course, we're not speeding up for this game. But, you know, it's just their imagination at work. It's great.
It's great. Yeah, yeah, it's really good. We adapted the alphabet game also to another kind of game, the number game. So we have to try and get to 100.
Okay.
And it takes a lot longer, of course, because it's just more digits, but it's also harder to find.
Okay.
So as long as the number is in the right sequence, like say, for example, there was a driver's license that had 187, you could use 87.
Okay.
Or you could use 18.
Okay.
So as long as the sequence was together, as long as you spotted in any sequence of numbers, the numbers that you, was the next number, so somebody would have shouted out, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and of course the first few are okay. Easy. And then after that, it's like you're trying to spot sequences of numbers, right?
Okay.
And so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought of another.
Sometimes it took all day. What's that?
Well, I don't know if this would apply to, I don't know if your provinces have different license plates, but here every state has a different license plate. And so if you're going far enough, you can see if you can find all 50 states in license plates.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot less, you know, provinces and territories in Canada than there is in states. So it's not quite as thrilling. But we've actually done that in road trips to the States.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we have, you know, we've done that where we it's, but it's much more interesting because you're divided up into smaller parcels of land.
Right.
Yeah. But it's fun. So I had a couple of other things that I was going to share with you. What were they now? Oh, yeah. Colors of cars. So everybody would pick a color and see who could get the most. And then sometimes we would eliminate a color, like say white was too easy. We would say, okay, you can pick any color but white. So, you know, we might start, you know, take turns picking. So somebody will pick a blue or a black or whatever they think is going to win. And then over a period of time, you know, 20 minutes, an hour, depending on, you know, we would see who got the most or see who got to 10 first, you know, so it's kind of dependent on the game and dependent on how we felt like doing it or how old the kids were, you know, like, okay, first one to get to 10 cars, you know, wins the game. And, you know, so that was kind of a fun game and just kept them sort of observant, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And of course, looking for things that, you know, you're going to see, like the border signs or, you know, spotting wildlife. And, you know, I always won the wildlife one because my dad was a hunter. So we just spotted wildlife. We just grew up spotting wildlife.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so that was kind of fun. But, yeah, or spotting different kinds of, you know, trees or land formations or various things like that. But it was all very informal. You know what I mean? I didn't go in with it with sort of like, okay, I'm going to teach these kids some geography. It was just always, you know, fun and off the cuff. You know, sometimes the kids would make up games too. Like, well, let's see who can, you know, spot this kind of bird. If I can spot 10 of them, you win this round or whatever. But one of the other things we, What was that?
Like car bingo. You can make up your own bingo square.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can make up your own, you know, spot the anything, right? Fill in the blank. And, you know, so that's kind of fun. And even older kids, like, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing to do. We found actually sort of shaking up the activities too, like, you know, doing one activity and then doing a different activity and you could come back to it. But, you know, kind of keeping it interesting by having the activities be... you know, varying them kind of thing. The other thing that we, as the kids got older, sort of more into their teens year where like they needed to kind of check out for a while, then they could bring along, you know, like an iPod or whatever and listen to music, right? And that was nice too. We didn't want them like plugged in the entire time that we were driving. But, you know, yeah, if you need to just take a break and check out or, you know, have a nap or whatever, you can listen to music. You know, and that also, I think just listening to music is just a way healthier option than just being plugged into a screen watching something all the time, right? You know, as the world goes by you. One of the other things we did when our kids were small that was very sort of, you know, educationally oriented, but they didn't think of it that way, was passing notes, right? So, you know, that I would write a note and pass it to them. And then they would write a note back to me, right? Especially sort of early readers, you know, who are just learning how to put words together and whatnot. And that was actually really fun, you know, that we could pass a note back. When we had our 15-seater van, so the structure of one of those big... Do you guys have one of those big vans?
Not yet. It's the next one, though, for sure.
That's when we hit it. But there's rows of seats, you know, so there's like... How did it go? There was the two driver seats in the front and then there was bench seats. And so it must have been like two people, then three, then three, then three in the 15-seater. And so something like that, you know, and then there's sort of a little hallway that you can walk down. So you actually have people in, you know, different rows. And so sometimes you're having to pass things back. So, you know, that became a game. Like I'd make lunches in the car, you know, and then I would pass, like, okay, pass that back to someone, so you know, I felt like a short order cook. Okay, do you want mustard? Yeah, I want mustard. We bought these plastic bowls that had, like, those hard plastic bowls that had, you know, so I could make lunches and pass them back to the kids, and they could eat over a bowl, right? We'd put, like, you know, a wrap and some chips or whatever.
That is such a good idea.
Okay, I'm going to give you... my best road travel hack ever. Okay. And I forgot about it in this trip. I ended up having to buy this on our way because I forgot. I took a plastic tray, like just a serving tray, to have on my lap so that I could have the cooler beside me and I could be making lunches for people on a tray, right? And then I wasn't slopping and spilling and whatever. And then I would put it in a bowl, you know, like a wrap with some wraps we found for the best travel food, just meat, cheese, you know, alfalfa sprouts or whatever in the cooler and wrap that up and hand it to them. And then some veggie chips or some potato chips and hand that back to them. And, but all done on the tray. And I forgot, you know, because it's been a long time since we've done a road trip. And as we were driving along, I thought, why didn't I bring my tray? So I'm kind of trying to juggle things like on a towel on my lap. And so I stopped and we just happened to be at a grocery store and there was a tray there. So I picked it up on the way, but that way made all the difference to sort of, making food in the car. We'd always stop and get dinner somewhere, but we ate breakfast and lunch in the car because what do you want to do? You're sitting for, you know, 5 hours and then you want to get out and sit at a restaurant or get out and sit at a picnic table. You know, it just made sense to just eat in the car while we're already sitting.
Yeah. So. Well, also when you have little ones, it's kind of like, okay, how can we get to our destination quicker?
And, yeah, food is entertainment.
Yeah, and also we kind of recently, both financially and also just, I don't really like fast food anymore. This is not to slam anybody that enjoys that for road trips. I can't eat fast food and then sit for another several hours. That just destroys me. And yeah. It makes me cranky. And so we just make food like in the car. Just like you were saying, although now I'm going to go get a plastic tray because that'll make it really easier.
Yeah. If you can get something that's like oval rather than, you know, square corners and edges, it just, if you know, if suddenly the car jars or something, the oval's just safer. Right. And I only had it on my lap while I was getting food. But on this trip, I found an oval tray. And so that was fantastic. And so, yeah, that made a big difference. And we just found we basically kept raw, you know, cut up vegetables. Every grocery store will have, you know, the little bags of carrots and cut up vegetables. We would just buy them cut up, you know, have some fruit and dried fruit and nuts and things like that. But wraps, meat, cheese, and alfalfa sprouts was just like our go-to. Oh, and those little things, you get them from Costco, those little things of hummus and tzatziki, right? They were perfect because you could just have some crackers and hummus too. Or spread it on your wrap and roll that up on a Friday or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Right. Mm. Yeah, we like to do Hawaiian rolls and salami. And we just get, they're like little sweet square bread rolls. And they come in big packs. You can get them at Costco. And cause that's really easy. Cause you just pull it apart, stick some salami in there, cheese if you want. And then I think we usually just do mustard and make little sandwiches that are just so easy. And the kids like them too.
We found that having the hummus and tzatziki keeps for quite a while in the cooler. We found that having the hummus and tzatziki was handy because then we didn't need mayonnaise and mustard. You know, we sort of had something on, that sort of held things together and made it moist enough to eat and all that. Right.
Yeah. Good ideas. I love it.
Yeah.
We always, for years, we've taken a cooler with food, like the little, Go-Gurts, organic yogurt sticks are really good because they're at least something nutritious, you know.
My son wanted to bring.
Usually,
sorry.
Go ahead.
My son wanted to bring pepperoni, and I said, you know, no. And if you have potato chips, they cannot be all dressed or ketchup. Sorry. We also found, I mean, we didn't stop for fast food very often, but, you know, we had a couple of fast food meals. I just find I got to get the garbage out of the car as soon as possible because otherwise the whole car smells like fast food and you just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not my thing.
Well, I'm really nervous because we actually had a mouse in our car. We finally caught it, but I'm super sensitive hearing-wise.
Right.
And so I can't tell if I still hear it sometimes or if I'm just... paranoid.
Gotcha.
So, because we caught one and it took care of the major issue. But then I swear, like last week, I was on the phone with my friend in the car and I was like, I think I hear a mouse. I gotta go.
Oh, I wonder if you could stick a neighbor's cat in your car for an hour.
You know, I did think about that. We have a lot of neighborhood cats.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It's warm enough weather now. They're probably not looking for vehicles to live in because it's not winter
anymore. That's
a
good point.
So hopefully.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I put this episode up on Instagram, I will invite people to put their ideas in as well because, you know, people are so creative, right? So cool ideas. You know, people can just share whatever their travel food ideas or activity ideas are that might be really helpful. My kids in general, I could always read in the car. And so that's a real blessing. I didn't realize what a blessing that was as a kid because most of my kids can't read in the car.
Nope, I cannot read in the car. My 7-year-old can.
Nice.
So I'm sure he'll bring quite a few books and zone out, which is fine if he's reading.
And also, I mean, even, you know, if you can draw or whatever, you know, if there's sort of things you can do like that, you know, that's always a really good thing to do too. But again, not everybody can, they have to have their eyes up. So in order to make
We're going to bring the Tony box.
I was going to ask about that. Okay.
Yeah
it must be great.
Amazon sells carrying cases for the Tony box with little pouches to keep the Tonys in.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to get one of those. But my daughter listens to the Tony every night. She has all of her little Tonys, and each night she picks a different one. And her favorite recently has been the Winnie the Pooh one, which, if I could just do a plug for Tony box right now.
Yeah.
Most of the Tonys, like the Disney Tonys, the music is not the original Disney
picture. Oh, okay. Good to know. That's good to know.
They do, like, different voices. but I am 99% sure all of the Winnie the Pooh is like the original 1970s Winnie the Pooh characters and songs, okay. Which I appreciate.
You know what they're doing right now? I don't know if they've released them yet, but they're also doing the Kratt Brothers. Are you familiar with the Kratt Brothers?
I don't. That sounds familiar.
They're Canadian, but I know the show is all over, you know, the U.S., but it's been around since my kids were small, and okay. They're still around. They're still going strong, the Kratt Brothers, and it's all nature videos and okay. cool animal videos and that sort of thing. Really, the kids love them. My kids okay. love them. And so Tony Box is doing the Kratt Brothers, right? So it'll be sort of science-oriented, yeah. which is really cool. So, yeah. So how about we leave it there and then, you know, glean other ideas off other people.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.